Welcome to HN Pod, your daily audio dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is episode 341, and we are looking back at the biggest conversations from yesterday, March 20, 2026. We have got a really interesting mix today. We are talking about the fatigue around AI hype, a massive open source AI coding agent causing some headaches, a major shakeup in the world of academic publishing, a wild military security breach involving a fitness hop, and finally, we will be remembering an absolute internet and action movie legend.
It really is a packed board today. Let us kick things off with a post that clearly resonated with a lot of people on the site. It's a blog post by Terrence Eden titled, "I Am Okay Being Left Behind, Thanks." It pulled in over 800 points.
Yeah, this piece really captured the current mood for a lot of developers. Terrence starts by looking back at the crypto boom from a few years ago. He remembers people telling him that crypto was the future of money, and that if he didn't get in early, he would be left behind. And of course, there was that whole toxic, have fun staying poor mentality that weaponized the fear of missing out.
Exactly. And he's drawing a direct parallel to the current crop of AI tools. He says he's tried a bunch of them, and while some are good, he feels most are just not that useful to him right now. His main point is that if this technology is truly as revolutionary as everyone claims, it will still be there tomorrow. He can just wait until it's actually stable, reliable, and easy to use. He compares it to waiting for Git to become the industry standard before learning it, rather than suffering through the buggy early days.
I love his phrase about not wanting to learn the equivalent of WordStart for DOS when Google Docs is coming any day now. It's such a grounded perspective. And the Hacker News comments really ran with this. A lot of people are experiencing what one commenter called JOMO, the joy of missing out.
That JOMO comment was great, but the discussion also highlighted a really frustrating trend in the corporate world right now. A user named Augusto Mora pointed out that companies are actually forcing AI tools on their engineers, tracking their usage metrics and actively hunting down developers who do not use the AI tools enough.
Which is wild. Another commenter compared it to the massive cloud push we saw years ago, where executives mandated that everything had to move to the cloud, even when it made absolutely zero technical sense. People in the comments were calling it the MBAification of management, where C-suite executives who don't actually understand the day-to-day engineering work just chase the latest shiny object to justify their positions.
Yeah, one commenter noted that we are still in the stupid phase of AI adoption. It is a time when idiotic mandates come down from the top, just so executives can say they are keeping up with the herd. But on the flip side, there was a nuanced take from a user who pointed out that sometimes these tools actually do catch bugs in minutes that take humans days to find. The problem is not the tool itself, but the top-down, metric-driven way it is being forced on teams.
Right. It is the difference between an organic adoption of a useful tool and a forced march, which actually transitions perfectly into our next story about one of those very tools. The post is simply titled OpenCode, Open Source AI Coding Agent. It got over 500 points.
OpenCode is huge right now. According to their site, they have over 120,000 GitHub stars and 5 million monthly developers. It is an open source agent that helps you write code right in your terminal or IDE, and you can plug in models from OpenAI, Anthropic, or even run local models. On paper, it sounds like exactly the kind of mature tool Terrence Eden might actually want to use eventually.
On paper, yes, but the Hacker News comments painted a very different picture of what it is actually like to use OpenCode in production right now. The top comment by LogicProg was pretty eye-opening. They said OpenCode was their main workhorse, but they are incredibly frustrated by the development practices of the team behind it. They are releasing updates at this breakneck speed, adding, removing, and breaking features constantly without proper testing.
And it is a massive, complex TypeScript code base that eats up a gigabyte of RAM just for a terminal user interface. But what really caught my attention were the security concerns. A user named R. Barons pointed out that OpenCode is permissive by default and actually tries to pull its configuration from the web. There's an open issue about a potential remote code execution vulnerability.
Yeah, and someone jokingly replied that remote code execution is exactly the feature of a coding agent. But jokes aside, it highlights a real problem. When you give an AI agent autonomy on your machine, security has to be airtight. Another user mentioned that this move fast and break things approach is becoming standard for AI tools. they brought up Claude Code, mentioning that the creator admitted their entire codebase has 100% churn every 6 months.
That is staggering. One commenter perfectly summarized the current ethos of AI development. They said the priority right now is what to release is greater than what to build, which is greater than building anything faster. It's all about shipping at warp speed, even if the architecture is a mess. There was also a debate about telemetry, with people pointing out that open code phones home a lot, leading to community forks that strip out the tracking. It really shows the growing pains of this new era of agentic coding.
Speaking of growing pains and massive shifts, let's move over to the world of academia. Our third story is from science.org, titled "Archive Declares Independence from Cornell." This one got 730 points.
For anyone who might not know, Archive is the massive preprint server where researchers, especially in physics, math, and computer science, upload their papers before they go through formal peer review. It has been hosted and supported by Cornell University for decades, but now they are splitting off into their own independent entity.
The official statement uses a lot of standard corporate speak about positive changes and growth, but the Hacker News community is highly skeptical. The top comment by Frankling pointed out that Archive recently started rejecting review articles and position papers. They feel Archive is shifting from being a neutral, glorified PDF hosting service into an opinionated gatekeeper.
That is a huge deal, especially for the machine learning community. In AI and ML, things move so fast that waiting months or years for traditional journal publication is impossible. Archive has essentially become the primary publishing venue. If a paper is on Archive, it gets cited. So if Archive starts acting like a traditional journal and deciding what is or is not worthy of being hosted, it changes the entire landscape of open science.
The comments got into a really deep debate about the nature of peer review itself. A user named Godelsky argued that research should just be open, and that we should evaluate people on the quality of their work rather than the prestige of where it is published. They said that the current system of mass publishing is just exploiting our laziness.
I really liked Godelsky's point about wanting reviews from people who actually care about making the work better, rather than reviewers who just see it as their job to find flaws and reject things. The whole discussion highlighted how broken the academic prestige system is. Archive was supposed to be the antidote to that, a pure, open pipeline for sharing knowledge. The fear is that by becoming independent, they might try to legitimize themselves by adopting the very gatekeeping behaviors they were created to bypass.
It will definitely be something to watch closely over the next year. All right, let us shift gears to a story that sounds like it is straight out of a spy comedy, but it is 100% real. The headline is, France's aircraft carrier located in real time by Le Monde through fitness app.
This is just wild. Journalists at the French newspaper Le Monde were able to track the exact location of a French nuclear aircraft carrier because the sailors on board were using the Strava fitness app to log their runs on the deck. The app was syncing their location data to the cloud, making it publicly accessible.
The Hacker News comments were equal parts amused and terrified, mostly because this keeps happening. Someone pointed out that just 3 years ago, a former Russian submarine commander was allegedly assassinated because his running route was tracked via Strava. And before that, the locations of secret US military bases in Iraq were revealed because soldiers were jogging the perimeters while wearing Fitbits.
You would think militaries would have figured this out by now. One of the best comments was from a user named SA46. They shared a story from 15 years ago about a military training exercise. The opposing force actually figured out how to triangulate the brigade headquarters position using the dating app Tinder. They just roamed around until they got enough distance pings to pinpoint the command center, and then called in a simulated artillery strike on it.
That is hilarious. And the brigade commander was apparently furious. It really shows how hard operational security is when every single soldier has a smartphone in their pocket. People in the comments were debating why soldiers do not just turn these apps off.
The consensus seemed to be the power of gamification. People love their streaks, their badges, and the social validation of sharing their workouts. One user noted that logging a workout is one thing, but making it public by default is a massive privacy failure by the app makers. But as long as these apps reward users with fake internet points, people are going to keep broadcasting their locations, even from the deck of a classified warship.
Someone even brought up a fascinating historical parallel from World War II. The British knew the Germans were tracking where their V-2 rockets were landing, so the British started feeding false location data with a slight offset to the German spies. The Germans adjusted their targeting based on the fake data,
and their rockets started missing the actual targets. The commenter suggested militaries today should just spoof their Strava data to confuse the enemy.
That is actually a brilliant idea. Just have a server generating fake marathon runs in the middle of the ocean.
Exactly. All right, for our final story today, we have some sad news that hit the community hard. Chuck Norris has died at the age of 86. The article from Variety got over 700 points.
Chuck Norris was an absolute icon. He was a martial arts champion, he fought Bruce Lee on screen, and he starred in Walker, Texas Ranger for nearly a decade. But for the internet generation, and specifically the Hacker News crowd, he is immortalized by the Chuck Norris facts, those absurd, hilarious memes about his toughness.
Like, Chuck Norris can slam a revolving door. Or, Chuck Norris does not sleep, he waits. The comments were just a massive wave of nostalgia. One user shared a great story about how, when they were 13, they built an iPhone app that just displayed a random Chuck Norris joke every time you topped the screen. They loaded it with 300 jokes.
And what happened?
The Chuck Norris estate sent them a cease and desist and blocked the app from going live. The user said they really wish they had printed and framed that rejection letter.
That is amazing. It is funny because, as another commenter pointed out, those memes actually revitalized his career. For a whole new generation, he went from being an aging action star to this mythical internet god. It took him a while to embrace the joke, but it absolutely cemented his legacy.
Another fascinating part of the discussion was how massive Walker, Texas Ranger was internationally. Americans in the comments were shocked to learn that the show was a primetime staple in France, Italy, Sweden, and Hungary.
Yeah. Someone explained that because it was a syndicated show, the rights were incredibly cheap compared to premium network shows like Seinfeld or Friends, so international networks bought it up. It led to this funny realization that for a lot of Europeans in the 90s, their primary understanding of American culture came from Chuck Norris roundhouse-kicking bad guys in slow motion.
Which, honestly, is not the worst way to be perceived. He was a true legend of both the screen and the early internet, and he will definitely be missed.
Absolutely. And that wraps up our coverage for today. Five very different stories, from the philosophy of adopting AI to the messy reality of open source coding agents, the shifting sands of academic publishing, fitness apps compromising national security, and a farewell to Chuck Norris.
Thanks for joining us on episode 341. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. Until then, maybe check your privacy settings on your running app.
Good advice. See you tomorrow, everyone.